Spot. Driving. No purchase necessary.
This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
The 2015 Baltimore Ravens season has come to, mercifully, an end.
Thank God.
Oh, wow. That was a struggle. So we're going to be talking about this on today's episode of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, which you can hear on sfmsports.net and Audio Boom. This has been quite the year for the Baltimore Ravens. It's unprecedented for them, considering that they have not had a season this worse in their franchise history of over 20 years. And it just so happened to be the 20th anniversary of the Baltimore Ravens in 2015, and it just did not pan out well for this team. It was terrible. That's all you can say about it. It's just a terrible, terrible season.
It just reminds you of the 2005 season where they were celebrating their 10th anniversary, and they were going into the season thinking, well, we got to do better than the year before. We got some key players on our team that are looking to stand out. They're looking to make an impact. I mean, we can look at Derek Mason a la 2005. We can look at Steve Smith Sr. a la 2015, and both meeting the same fate, playing for a losing football team in Baltimore.
Yeah, except one was injured and had to leave like halfway through the season due to a season-ending injury, almost a career-ending injury. But
and was having a career year, too.
Yeah, but Steve Smith came out and said, no, I'm going to be coming back because I'm not going to let my career go. I'm not going to walk out like this. I don't want to walk out like this, and I guess it's admirable to him. I just hope that it pans out for him and that he ends up having a pretty decent year for one final swan song for one Steve Smith. Yeah, that 2005 season, it was very reminiscent of, this 2015 season was very reminiscent of that 2005 season, only because decades are not too kind to the Baltimore Ravens. It's like, well, every 5 years is good for the Baltimore Ravens, so to speak. I mean, it was Super Bowl 35 that they won in 2000, which was the five-year anniversary of the team.
Or every three of 6 years are good for the Baltimore Ravens. Sometimes you'll even go to a conference championship in those three of 6 years.
Sometimes you might even go to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 47 and go against Colin Kaepernick, who is now pretty much no longer in the league.
Yeah, and by the way, I saw this on social media today. Did you know that the Ravens, even with this bad season they have, still have the best overall winning percentage in the AFC North since 2000.
It's such a bunch of weird statistics, too, with this 2015 team.
Just to make people feel better at home listening to this show.
Yeah, because everybody who's calling for the firing of Dean Pease and defensive coordinator, he had to deal with a lot of injuries himself, especially with the captain of the defense, Terrell Suggs. The man still in a walking boot as of this podcast is still in a walking boot. He got hurt before Steve Smith, and Steve Smith is actually out of his. But not to, you know, compare injuries or anything that's been going on. But yeah, Dean Pease also had to deal with injuries on defense, and yet he still managed to have, what was the ranking there, Josh?
The 8th total defense in the National Football League.
You know what? You would take that on any type of team. It's just that because this team was losing so much, It amplified just the way that this defense just could not get off the field because the offense wasn't really doing much either. It was, Joe Flacco had to deal with his injuries that he dealt with as well. Justin Forsett down, injuries in the wide receiver position.
Eugene Monroe, shocker.
We're not going to be seeing Eugene Monroe ever again in a Baltimore Raven uniform. I'm quite convinced of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you're dealing with Joe Flacco's cruciate ligament injuries, Justin Forsett's broken arm, Eugene Monroe's current trips to the medical facility, Steve Smith's injury, you know, we could go on and on about the injuries that this team suffered. Over 20 players on the injured reserve, both offense, defense, special teams. I mean, it was just catastrophic. It was a catastrophe. And John Harbaugh alluded to this in his last press conference to the media, at least the last postgame conference of the season for him, where he said he's going to use this season as sort of a life lesson kind of thing. If anything, he said it made the guys that are currently playing on his team stronger minded, so to speak. I mean, you look at guys like Brandon Williams, who stood out on a defense that on television didn't look pretty, but at the end of the day still finished in the top 10 overall. 12th in rushing, 10th in passing. 10th in passing was the one that I was shocked by. I thought it would have been the other way around, because when you look at the first 10-12 games of the regular season for the Baltimore Ravens, their run defense was very stout. And I think if you had to look at players who stood out besides Marshall Yanda and Sam Cook as the lone Pro Bowlers for this team, Brandon Williams would have to be at the top of that list right there. Him and Timmy Jernigan, too. The future looks bright at the defensive line if you had to look at a bright spot there.
There was that on offense. Joe Flacco was actually on pace. He was on pace, Josh, to pass for 4,000 yards.
Not just 4,000 yards. He was on pace to throw for, what, 4,500 yards. So on Pro Football Reference, had he accomplished that feat and played the whole 16-game season, his seasonal average would have been 4,000 yards just off of that season alone right there.
Yeah, and that's the ironic part.
Turnovers still would have been high, though, of course.
The turnovers would have been high. That's the ironic part about this Baltimore Ravens season is that statistically it doesn't look all that bad because a lot of the losses, they were one score away from winning.
Yeah, when you look at, what was it, how many games here, about 12, 13 games that were decided by a touchdown or less. Yeah, that is usually a hard, schedule to play, especially when you have all the emotions running through on both offense and defense. I mean, how many times have we seen the Ravens have a game end by a game-losing interception? I mean, we saw it this past weekend on Week 17 as Ryan Mallett was having one more play or one more drive left for the offense for the Ravens and threw a game-losing interception to the Bengals. And there you go. It was a 24-16 loss.
Although that almost turned around in not the Bengals' favor as the guy who made the interception, he decided he wanted to be a little cute with it and decided to lateral. I'm like,
oh, he was pulling an Ed Reed then.
Yeah. Look, dude, this is the game. The game is sealed. But had you lateraled that and somebody fumbled and somebody from the Ravens picked that up and run it for a touchdown, you would have been a serious goat. And I don't know how badly that game would have affected the Bengals' seeding because they're division champions, but it was pretty much division champions by a long shot. At the same time, though, it still would have hurt to go in the playoffs by saying to yourself, okay, we lost to the Baltimore Ravens. We had them beat, but on the last play of the game, nope. One of our defensive backs decided to be cute and lateral the ball to almost no one.
I think another bright spot, if you had to look at the offense, since the offense really didn't have any bright spots, so to speak, and I guess this is a guy who was a goat last season for the Ravens trying to come up as their number two receiver since Marlon Brown faded into obscurity, and it was Kamar Aiken. This season, since Steve Smith Sr. went down with injury and Kamar Aiken had to take over the number one spot, and now granted, Ray, this was a team that not only had the Steve Smith injury all year, it had the Breshad Perriman injury that went on since the beginning of training camp, and those were two guys that you were hoping would start the season at number one and number two right there.
Could you say that is where the ill fortune of 2015 began for the Baltimore Ravens, is the Breshad Perriman injury, is because that happened like right at the beginning of training camp, and injuries that happen in training camp seem to always plague the Ravens. I mean, I do remember after their Super Bowl 35 win,
Jamal Lewis,
and being able to bring back that Super Bowl winning team, they were missing a key piece of that puzzle, and that was Jamal Lewis. Because if they had Jamal Lewis with Elvis Gerbach, who was a All-Pro quarterback at the time, he was at the signing of that an upgrade over Trent Dilfer. He was exactly what, when people say, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? You know, they want a guy who throws over 4,000 yards. They want a guy who can light up the numbers. Elvis Gerbach was that guy in 2001, and yet he could not get it done for the Baltimore Ravens, and it's because of that they ended up losing in the playoffs, and that just wasn't the sign for that team. It just, they couldn't repeat as Super Bowl champions, and it was all because of an injury to Jamal Lewis. I mean, who did they bring in? Jason Brookins, Terry Allen.
Terry Allen was, what, like 43 years old playing running back there?
Yeah, there was that. Now, this year with Breshad Perriman, you're trying to bring him in as a rookie, and you're hoping that he's going to be an elite wide receiver, because in terms of drafting wide receivers, Ozzie Newsome just hasn't really connected really with finding an actual, you know, elite guy. He hasn't found an Odell Beckham Jr. He hasn't found a Randy Moss or a Chris Carter or Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, I'll even say. He had to get him through free agency. But in terms of drafting these types of wide receivers who put up over 1,000 yards a year almost consistently, no, he hasn't really hit on that. You were hoping Breshad Perriman could have been that, but nope. He gets hurt in preseason, and then you got to look to guys like Kamar Aiken and an aging Steve Smith to step up, and that just that wasn't really a recipe for success, even though Joe Flacco had the numbers to pass for over 4,000 yards. Statistics aren't everything, Josh.
Yeah, and Kamara Aiken, getting back to him real quick, had 75 catches, 944 yards, and 5 receiving touchdowns for the Baltimore Ravens. And you thought those would have been Steve Smith Sr.'s numbers had the original plan work with him and Perriman playing alongside. And that probably would have worked out in the Ravens' favor offensively. And who knows, maybe those close games would have turned out for the Ravens and they would have, say, maybe went 10-6 and would have made the, you know, postseason as a wild card team, considering how bad the rest of the AFC was this year.
Yep, and considering how bad the NFC was, how bad the NFL in general was, this was kind of a way for the Ravens. You know, they could have stolen the 2015 season with just 17 players on injured reserve.
Over 20 players on injured reserve.
Over 20, okay.
So, and counting.
maybe not counting because the season's over, but yeah, you saw the chart with the team photos taken in training camp and then saw all the circles and the dots that were put on players that have injured reserve, and you see how they said, well, we're running out of dots here. We don't really know what to do. With all the injuries that the Ravens had, they still had a shot within a few weeks after the a few weeks before the final game of the season. That's just how bad the NFL was in general with the downplay of, you know, just bad overall, just a bad product by a lot of teams in the NFL, to where I think you had only 11 teams with a winning record by week 12.
Yep, and now you're forced to draft 6 overall in the 2016 NFL draft coming up in April. Now, let me ask you this, Ray. I'm going to put you in Steve Bisciotti's shoes here for a second. Say you're in the war room. You're there with John Harbaugh. You're there with Eric DaCosta, if he's still with the team, because there are reports of him getting calls from the Tennessee Titans about a possible general manager job. And you have your longtime general manager, Ozzie Newsome. Now, I posted this on sportsblog.com not too long ago. It was a free-for-all poll. Where should the Baltimore Ravens start this offseason? I'm going to give you 5 choices. Looking forward to the 2016 NFL draft, release players to free up cap space, restructure contracts with key players, hire new assistant coaches to fix offensive-defensive schemes, or the hard part in the war room, Ozzie Newsome, best of luck to your future endeavors. Because, hey, that could happen.
I don't think it's that.
No, it's not that. Well, what do you think the other 4 will be?
I would look forward to the draft because you actually have a high draft pick this year.
And not only that, you're probably going to draft 2 guys in the top 50 right there.
Yeah, so you have the highest draft pick you've had in years, and you've had nothing but winning records since John Harbaugh got here. This is his first losing season. Make it count.
Yeah, and not only that, you have leverage on other teams. You could trade next year's first-round pick to another team and say, hey, you know, we don't know how good we're going to be. Would you like to take a chance and draft and give us your first-round pick this year and take advantage of what could be a high draft pick next year? Because it has worked before. 2003, the Baltimore Ravens traded 2004 first-round pick to, I don't know what team it was, but I do know they had Terrell Suggs and Kyle Bowler in the same draft. Granted, Kyle Bowler wasn't a popular choice as a first rounder, but it was a great chance taken by the Ravens general manager, Ozzie Newsome.
Well, at the time, you were hoping that Bowler could actually do something when they drafted him, but it was only after in hindsight that you realized, oh, this was not the best pick, Ozzie. Yeah, in terms of actually drafting players recently, just who was the one Pro Bowler that they've actually drafted that's actually done something? I'm blanking on his name right now, but
there was Ben Grubbs. There was you can name it a lot. Pierre Bowler. You know, like there are a lot of guys that the Ravens drafted, but yeah, I mean, we have to look forward to the draft, of course, and a whole lot of other stuff because the NFL, of course, is a 24/7 business. You know. But, hey, that's what we're here for. We're here to cover that news. We're here to talk about it. And whether it's in joy or in sorrow, thank you for stressing with us for these last 17 weeks. It was just unbearable. For all the wrong reasons, it was unbearable.
Here's the 2016 being a hopefully better season for the Baltimore Ravens. But this has been another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free For All. I am Ray Atkinson.
And I am Josh Hall. Be sure to catch us at Facebook, the Baltimore Sports Free For All podcast, on Twitter, @BSportsFree4All, and always check us out on sfmsports.net.